If I were to ask you what your philosophy of life or your creed, what would that be?
Have a good time all the time.
A podcast has changed my life.
Shine, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes, nice to be back.
Come on, sit down, tuck in.
This is not funny!
Boom. All right, what are we talking about, boys? What do we got to discuss?
I would respect anything so much if they did that.
I could never do it. I never knew how to do it with even a lighter.
Yeah, I picked up on a couple of hockey trips.
Hockey trips?
Yeah, the boys.
You played hockey?
No, I coached.
Oh, right.
Yeah, without ever playing the game.
Yeah.
But they coached
you
afterwards.
Yourself in the mirror?
Well,
were the players ever like, you don't know what it's like to strap on the boots? And
yeah, a little bit of that, but they respected my my knowledge of the game.
So you'd never played hockey yourself?
No, I just got pissed with a bunch of them, and then they just let me in.
And then they're like, this guy could coach us.
Well, I was more like...
Getting the sense this isn't a very high standard of play.
No. And it wasn't for us, for the team I went with, but like everyone else.
Was it a bit of Coach Bombay action? Like
a little bit. I was just like,
the court's like, yes, you've got to do it.
I was just a pissed legend to these guys, so they were like, we've got to bring him up. Let's make him.
This is kind of what you were just saying. Like, you'd like to go into a podcast, environment and open a beer in a slick way. I feel like an extension of that is killing at the pub so hard that you become their fucking coach. Like, that's mental. I've never heard of that in my life. We're in a sport you're unfamiliar with.
Yeah.
You've got absolutely no expertise.
It's like, I've killed at the pub, but no one's ever been like, do you want to be our lawn bowls regional coach?
Well, like, I was good friends with a few of them. But they were like, yeah, we've got to get in.
So were they coaching you a bit on how to be a coach?
Sort of, yeah.
At halftime, they're like, give us one of those anecdotes, mate.
Well, there was another guy who was a player, quite good, but he couldn't play, he was injured. So he was like, well, I'm going to go down and coach. And then I went down just as a bit of a gag.
Okay.
And then the gag became, it's like, this kid's got something.
Well, then, I ended up going to like three in the end. I think it kept bringing me back.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Wait, I reckon. You coached three games?
No, like three carnivals. Yeah.
What's a carnival?
Christ.
It's like a hockey carnival. So it's like they have it in Albury Wodonga over the Easter long weekend.
Oh, it's a hotspot for sport, though. Albury with a lot of great names have come
so
out of
there.
There's
a few, like Victorian.
Are you being sarcastic?
I mean, I don't know anything about the world of hockey. There might be some good hockey players, but there's a lot of like other sportsmen that have come from
Lauren Jackson.
Riverina district.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I played nationals like competition for basketball in Albury.
You were a nationals basketball player.
Like just.
No, I was a coach.
I wasn't a coach. I was like high school.
Yeah.
Like,
funny guy. Yeah. They liked me.
I'm just funny. People want me around groups of other people.
Yeah. I mean, we were playing Div 3, and then we got just the shit kicked out of us.
These are my kind of areas. I remember going to the Riverina playing AFL growing up and getting fucking destroyed. It's like the longest bus trip on the way back.
Man, we did that. Our high school team made it all the way to like the state final. For like the school competition, and then went to Eden, the border of Victoria and New South Wales.
In basketball,
this is an AFL.
Dude, I reckon I've got the exact same story because we played one game against like another local team, and then just had mass forfeits all the way to like the semi final. Mm. We went to Eden, or maybe past Eden. Past Eden, I don't know, but like down there to very close to the border, and just got like. Absolutely annoying. Like, we were all rugby league players. I played a bit of AFL.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember, I think we lost, like, 220 to 5. Like, we didn't even score a goal. We kicked 5 behind.
220?
It was a joke. Like, it was, they were like, what, like, how did you get here? And we're like, it's not our fault. Everyone forfeited before. Like, we're just shit. We shouldn't be here.
I feel like there's something that there's... I suppose it depends what it is, but, like, as you get more rural, I would have thought there's less people, so they'd get worse at sport. But it's kind of the opposite.
Farm strong.
And they get real intense and that's all they have.
Yeah.
And if you try and take it away from them, they want to fucking take your life away from you.
Totally. Because it's like you don't have the distractions of the city, so you play a bit.
Exactly.
Also, in the case of Australian rules football, there's a fake line apparently that you can draw up where rugby league ends and AFL begins. And it's not the border of Victoria. It's just on the other side.
Right.
So if you play anyone over that side of...
So they're just in like a very small pond. They're at the very edge because they're technically in New South Wales, but they're kind of in Victoria for the purposes of enjoying AFL.
Totally.
So they just destroy everyone.
Destroyed us. It was humiliating.
Well, I've just read that, you know that that old basketball player and now coach, that Vinny Del Negro?
Yes.
Like, that's how he got the job at, I think, the Bulls.
Mm.
Never coached before in his life and just, like, crushed it in the interview.
Just hanging out.
Well, surely I mean, that he was... had some background.
Well, he played in the NBA.
Seemed too easy back in the day. Like, in that Last Dance doco, the evil GM guy was just, like, asked for the job. Yeah, Jerry Krause was like a baseball dude.
Surely simplified that.
I mean, yeah, he would have had managerial experience of some kind.
Surely there was whatever. Like, there wasn't LinkedIn, but there was some kind of network where they could cross check. Like, you don't just turn up and be like, oh, should
they
I
should
be
have gone
GM
into that more
Bulls?
In the doco. It was like, was LinkedIn around during the 90s? I want more context, please.
I wanted to know Krause's references before I start.
I've read one basketball book.
Which one?
You'll love this. Mm. The General, Phil Smythe. Do you guys even know who that guy is?
No.
That
Australian
and I think,
player?
Yeah, a great Australian player. He used to play for the Cannons.
Let's just go back to the bit where he said, you'll love this.
In the
both of us are like, haven't heard of either of those things. Never heard of the fucking book. Never even heard of the bloke.
Have you heard of the Canberra Cannons, at least?
The Canberra Cannons?
I don't remember.
There used to be a team in the NBL.
No one into basketball in Australia cares about the NBL, I feel like.
Well, I used to have two cousins that played NBL.
Mm.
And so they played
Hawks?
No. They played. One played a little bit for the Hawks, but mainly they spent their time at the Canberra Cannons.
Yeah.
But they were
the Canberra Cannons. Really sounds like you've made that up. I've never heard of that in my life. Is that still
CJ Bruton used to play for the?
Oh my god! Okay. Oh, I've heard of him.
They used to be because I used to wake up on Saturday morning on ABC, and there'd be like NBL basketball, and they'd talk about the NBA. It was a big part of my life, and it's crazy to think you guys don't know about the Canberra Cannons. Anyway, he played for the Canberra Cannons. He was a hero at the Canberra Cannons, and he played for the Boomers, and he wrote a book.
Mm.
And I think he might have played for the Kings a little bit. And then he was the coach of the Australian team. You'd like that.
Yeah. Now my ears just perked up.
Can I go back, though? I don't think you were the coach. You were there for 3 days. I reckon you were the fucking mascot best, mate.
The mascot thinks you're the coach.
Oh, my Lord.
They told you were the coach. Like, well, yeah, coached hockey.
The guy that dresses up in the Brisbane Lions mascot thinks he's the coach.
Yeah, they make me dress as a lion, but they think it's good for morale, and that's actually mostly the job of a coach, is to, like, get everyone's spirits up. Yeah, the X and O's is one thing, but I feel like laughs is made. Of the crowd as well, mainly the children. I think it's the children in the crowd. That's who you coach most as the coach.
Enjoy the game more. You take that suit away, let's see the results. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, you cancel me next week and the results were the same. Let's go a few weeks without the mascot.
I'm pitching a movie to Hollywood. It's about an inspirational mascot. He changes the suit. Halfway through, they win the comp. I'm just going to go big.
Coach Carter should have been about a guy dressed up as a horse.
That's such a funny movie.
It's
not a funny movie. No, but that's a funnier movie than Coach
There's
Carter.
There's a new one. Yeah. There's a new one with Ben Affleck.
Yes.
I've seen it.
Is it good?
Mm.
He drinks so much. We were talking about it when Tim did the podcast, when Huey did it. He's like, you know when you're always like, oh, I drink too much? We were talking about it before this podcast started. Mm. And then you see someone that actually drinks.
That guy's a boozer.
You're like, whoa.
He just wants to do it because he loves drinking. It'd be like you, yes, if you did a movie about drinking. Because you love to coach.
The guy in the pub, like, oh, no,
he's only doing the fucking drinking movie because he loves to coach. So we know that guy loves to fucking coach.
That's like, Hollywood actors, when they do press junkets, they say they're like, this is the work. They do the movie for free.
Yeah.
You're coaching. And you're like, I do the drinking for free. Oh, wait, no.
No, the drinking's the work.
The drinking's
the work.
You're
like, I hate the pub. Yeah. I fucking hate the pub, but I love coaching.
I love being in the coach's box.
But then you get too needy. You'd come up to a new bunch of blokes and then you'd like start mentioning, like asking about sport like 2 minutes in. It's like, no, you need to be more chilled.
We're in the arts, fuck off.
Yeah, but do you need any advice around that? Also into mentoring.
Yeah, I'll do a motivational speech. You know, get on the canvas.
It was just mostly like, re-quoting Pacino's monologue in Any Given Sunday.
Oh, really?
It was just like, I mean, these are dopes I'm coaching. Like,
no, but that is legitimate motivation.
That's great. He just thought of that off the top of his head.
Pretty much. Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Before they run out, you're like, all right, guys, clear eyes. They would have hearts.
I went for the Golden Glove. Like, have you ever gone on a tour with like a sporting team and they have like all sorts of like fun rules, like a uni games kind of
vibe.
I have done I haven't done uni games, but I've had friends who do it. I've done golf trips and shit, and it's like weird.
Is that similar? Like might be different because it's not
I did one where it was like just me and my girlfriend. It was kind of, and like biggest pussy, I think I got like this special award, just like that she and a couple of her friends gave me, and it was like not gold, but you know, like,
has he talked about being scared and hiding behind his partner yet.
Yeah. I mean,
have you guys talked about this?
Oh, I don't know if we've talked about it.
I didn't hide behind. That's if that's what's come back from you.
Jared talks about it so much.
Well, that's what Jared, I was like, hey, I'm doing, you know, Taunton's Cashin's pod. What should I bring up? And he's like, talk about how he hid behind his partner.
I didn't hide behind my partner.
Like, he's a jiu-jitsu guy now. He's obsessed with, like, hurting people and fighting.
What do you think
them.
That's about?
He needs me to have an insufficiency in my life in order for his dedication to jiu-jitsu to make sense in his life.
That's probably true.
Because if I don't do it and I'm living a fine life, then, oh my God, it's almost as if Jared's wasting his fucking time.
Yeah,
that's true. Almost as if he spends 14 hours a week training something that's so unnecessary in our current society.
Tom must have
he's got a betrayed his girlfriend.
He's like, if you're not doing jiu-jitsu, you're a fucking idiot. Like, he walked down the street and he's like, look at all these idiots. They don't realise. Exactly. The secret's out there. He should get on a soapbox in the domain next to all the people, like, ranting about religion and be like, jiu-jitsu, it's the way forward.
For some reason, I've recently found out that's what it's all about. But yeah, no, I think that's the lens through which he sees it. I told him a story where I didn't hide, but I heard danger, potential danger, and I was cautious in checking what was happening outside, and my girlfriend ran out, like, kind of unabated, just got out there, and then...
Did the man's work.
Well, exactly. And then there was, like, a motorcycle kind of...
stereotypes.
A motorcycle was falling over and a woman was struggling with it. And then my opinion was like, oh, we'll just put it down and, like, that's all, take a chill pill, because she was kind of just stressfully pushing it up. And then, my girlfriend just got in there and kind of helped her. And, by the end of... And then she said thank you and left. And I kind of realised that I'd done nothing there and my girlfriend had done all of it. That's the kind of thing that... would upset Jared because he focuses on traditional gender roles. I'm not like that. You know what I mean?
Did you say to your girlfriend afterward, you're like, but if he chased me 8 to 10 kilometers, I'd have him covered.
Exactly. Well, it was a woman.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, no, it's not relevant. It wasn't like danger so much. It was because there was no real problem.
That's a good
but
rule.
But it could have been, and that's why I was cautious. And I think it is proof of the what Jared's trying to prove.
But that's not a bad rule. I don't like, hey, what you've done there. It'd be like, cut a deal with your partner if you're in a male-female relationship.
Mm.
If it's a male intruder, I'll go. Yeah. Female intruder, that's on you, babe.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she's got
to
go out.
I reckon I'm trying to get out on a technicality. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's non-binary, so I'm going to run. He didn't use a pronoun, so I'm out of here, love. I'm fucking halfway
asking
down.
Robert,
it's woke to run away.
What do you identify as?
Say woman. Please say woman.
Yeah.
I would have done the same. I'm a coward too.
Mm.
You ever been in a fight?
Not really, no. Nothing too... Other than, like, you know, a bit of a footy kind of shoving.
A heated argument.
Oh, it's great in school and, like, in sport because you know it's not really going to go that far. Yeah. So you can pretend a little bit.
They do pretend so much, even in professional sports. The jumper grabbing, and it's like, you guys
it was
are
all
just,
that kind of shit.
What is this, the WWE?
No, but some of them, like, they're millionaires now, and they get fined like $400,000 if they scratch a guy. So it's like,
I thought you were going to go the other way. The fines are like $5,000. It's like, if you hate it, just hit the guy.
Totally.
It's like you're on a $9 million contract.
But they're also just beautiful. The richer they get, the more they take care of their skin. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be in
a... Rugby league players?
No, I'm thinking
rugby
NBA.
Rugby not beautiful.
Yeah. It's like, if we think of the same sport. NBA. I've been watching NRL, and I reckon they're all pretty
dreamboat sport. I mean, there's a few lookers out there.
NRL players, I don't know how they do it, but they're truly the ugliest people.
Yeah, because they're just getting hit in the head.
But even before that, I think they go around to schools, and then instead of doing like a kicking challenge, they just see an ugly kid, and they're like, you got something. You know, come with me. We're going to train you up.
Well, maybe there's a correlation between being ugly. I think, was I with you? We saw, this is the story I always tell when I think about the correlation between like your looks and like your experience of the world. Because I feel like there was an open micer or someone that looked just a bit, they weren't even ugly necessarily. They were like, but they looked aggressive. No, but they looked angry. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And then they were a bit rude to me. And I think you'd seen them before and you're like, I think they're always a bit like that. And you've seen them perform a few times and they often get like aggressive reactions from the audience. And I was thinking, I reckon that's like...
We need names, Tom.
Yeah.
I don't even know their name, but also I'm not going to even... You know, imagine listening to a podcast and then this description is like...
but then
this is a story I often tell about ugly people. And it's like, about you? Like, that's brutal.
Yeah, but you'd probably beep the name out.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, Or just not mention it so you don't have to do anything.
Look, we shouldn't gossip.
But no, I actually don't know the name. Even.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I probably would tell you if I knew.
That's even better because now it's like, you know, open mics out there being like, am I ugly? Is Cashman talking about me?
Don't even know. Staring in the mirror, living like thinking about
they're
it.
They're not even from Sydney, this person.
Oh,
but
and they may as well not be.
They don't count.
So it's not, yuck. It's not someone who, you know, is part of your day-to-day.
Cool,
this is
so
a big goss.
It's a funny guy in the office.
This is just someone. But point is, I reckon if you look angry, people treat you a bit, like, more meanly. Like, if you walk in and you've got a big snarl on your face, that's like your resting bitch face-esque kind of face.
You get treated meaner?
I think people think you're, like, no, but not necessarily just about ugly. It's just, like, if you seem kind of aggressive. And then people treat you a bit worse. And you're like, the world fucking sucks. Everyone's being angry at me. I'm going to be angry at you. And then it's, like, perpetuates over years.
Then you shoot up a school. Is that what
you're saying? You become a fucking NRL player. That's my point. Because you get better at, like, beefs until you become more physical because you're in fights all the time because everyone thinks you're trying to pick a fight. You're just hanging out.
Yeah.
You know? Mm.
It's not a bad theory that it just is like just compounding each time. They are dumb. My brief experiences with NRL players, I don't know many, but I've met a few, and none of them are like the smartest people. So I think that reflects a lot of it as well. They wouldn't even know how to make themselves look prettier.
If you guys were smarter and heard about Nivea body cream, I feel like you could become good looking enough.
They wouldn't even know when to Google the plastic surgeon. They wouldn't know how to do that.
Surely the wags do, though. The wags would.
Yeah.
I feel like the wag has set them on that path of.
I'd love to be a wag.
Me too.
It would just be such a cruisy existence.
Be so sick.
This is the Liz Cambridge thing. You should have gotten, you know, he matched. Oh, no, he didn't match.
I didn't,
but he saw Liz Cambridge.
Are you
on
that famous person TV?
Yeah, how's it going?
Terrible.
He is.
Man, how is it?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I didn't know about it.
It's actually the best thing.
It's terrible.
Who's on it? Like, who have you seen?
Like, Liz Cambridge.
Man, nice. That's
so good. That's crazy. Like, But then can I clarify something? Because we talked about that a few weeks ago.
We talked about Liz at length.
Yeah. Because I'm a big fan of hers, and I was saying like, I've got a bit of a crush on her, as if that's kind of like a cute, kind of interesting thing. But I didn't follow her on Instagram. She's quite she posts lots of sexy pictures.
She's like
a sex icon or something.
Yeah,
so
I was talking
about it like it was a bit of an indie choice. It's like saying that about Pamela Anderson. It's like, you know who I've got a bit of a crush on? It's actually pretty interesting. Interesting.
This is a new one that I saw. I'm about to delete it though. It's not.
Oh, you can't.
Oh,
you got to have it for us.
Please. It's mainly for the story so you can tell people who you see.
Yeah, you've turned me around.
Yeah. It's a gift to your community to just be on there and checking in. Imagine if you saw Matt Damon on there.
I'm on the regular one just looking at just mob after mob after mob.
Getting angrier and angrier. It's like your face has done this. That's why I treat you this way.
When they match with you, you're like, fuck, of course they'll match
you. Oh, it's always like that. Yeah. It's like such a different attitude. But that one would be like, oh,
I saw
Noni Hazelhurst this season.
Oh, if I saw Noni. Oh my God.
No. I'm more like, yes.
Man.
Imagine that's your opening line.
Yeah, probably something like that.
Yes. I saw Cara Delevingne. Is that
her? Yeah. I'm not sure.
I got
sure
in trouble because I screenshotted it and then they're like, that's your second screenshot. I'll get kicked off if I screenshot.
You can't screenshot.
Times. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
You need a second phone. And people will be like, what are you dealing drugs or something? You're like, no, I'd use it to screenshot girls on Raya.
On Raya. Yeah. But there's a lot of famous people. I just don't know they're famous. Also, there's not that many people in Sydney on it.
It's more like, I'd be into like, the Home and Away kind of stars.
A lot of them are floating around on it. Yeah. I saw, who did I see? What's her name? She was in Offspring. She was a nurse in Offspring. She was in A Very Moody Christmas. She's like a prominent Australian actor.
Brunette.
Jane. Yes, brunette.
Was she on that show?
Jane Harper, maybe.
Was she on that show with Rove and...
Rove had a show?
And
you should know this.
And
you're a media buff.
You are. That one with Joel Creasy.
The movie one?
No, not
show me the show me the movie.
Hang on. Oh, I'm Googling her. Yeah, Jane Harbour is in it. She's also in Underbelly.
Jane Harbour, give me a look.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. I was right.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
What a little cutie.
Did she respond to you?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No, I don't have...
very moody profile.
That's good. That's good. No, that was what I would have said.
Yeah, very moody Christmas. More like a very moody bitch.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Replying, being like, I've got 9 lines already prepared for when you reject me. Based on your previous work. Looks like we're not going to have any offspring, are we? You fuck.
Can you do one for Underbelly?
Oh, I'm never going to even...
I'm never going to get under your belly.
Exactly. I was just going to say give that a kiss, yeah. But that's not... doesn't really count.
I'll give you Underbelly... Yeah, no, that's all right. Maybe I'll see your dark...
Have you heard I had one, and it was like a guy on a job site called it a gut locker, for like a vagina.
What?
No. A gut locker?
A gut locker.
Shut up.
As in, so that's... it's like a treasure chest.
Yeah.
But then...
to get into a gut.
So I don't like this metaphor. My first problem with it is that it's a bit gross. My second problem with it...
horrific.
Oh, totally. But my second problem is that it's kind of a mixed metaphor a little bit, because I think in a like a treasure chest, the key bit, the lock, is a means to an end. That's just some admin you have to do to open the chest, and then there's some beautiful treasure, and it's all about that treasure. Whereas in the case of the like having sex with a lady, I'd argue it's all about the lock. You know what I mean? Like, that's the best bit. Yeah. The guts, what's he talking about? That's just...
no,
I mean, it's good
guts.
For, you know, her sure. digestion and stuff, but
did
like...
Did I ever tell you this story?
So if you could pass that on to him, that'd be great. There's a guy called Tom. He's actually one of the biggest, most pedantic guys you've ever met, and he has a bit of an issue with that. Not the issue you might think.
I imagine, this bricklayer's going to love to hear it.
Yeah. I think I've got some running away to do in my future.
Send Tom down there. Just go, hey, are you the gut locker guy? I've got some thoughts.
This is the gut locker guy. Do you want
to... one of my favorite stories. Yeah, there was a Triple M.
Oh, I love it.
Adelaide. I mean, you would love this.
I love it already.
So Triple M Adelaide breakfast show, very much in the model. I think it was three footballers hosting the show, and they were pre-recording the show as they do sometimes in radio, and the conversation they were talking about was one of the guys was trying, him and his partner, his wife, were trying to get pregnant.
Mm.
And one of the other players and co-host's advice, he said this on radio. He said, why don't you fuck her up the guts with your big dick? And that went to air and the show got pulled.
It was a pre-record.
Pre-record.
So they had hours to get in front of that.
The editor missed it.
There's a producer there like... That's fine. I've decided that's fine. I'm bad at my job, and I've decided it's fine, everybody.
Yeah, the show got pulled off air in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
they came
sure.
And just played music.
And he got
for the
pulled
rest
off
of the day.
Later instead of up the guts.
How many more footballers are going to say something crass before we realize we've got to stop putting him in front of mics?
They get all the jobs too, don't they?
I know. It should be going to comedians.
Yeah, or people adjacent to comedy. Yeah. You know, like someone that's just got a twinkle in their eye.
I don't want me to have the job. I want someone parallel to me to have it.
Well, this kind of like whole lockdown has taught me that there's just so many funnier people than comedians, you know. Just having a go online. They've just got it, you know?
I know.
They've got it.
I've been searching the net, and some of these people, they've just got it.
We don't have it. It's too clinical what we do. We're thinking about it. We're like, do we write it? Do we perform? These people just live in the moment,
totally.
And they're like, I'm being funny. Give them the radio show.
Can I just go back to what he said, though? It's like, I thought there was going to be something novel in... But basically, his advice was have sex with your wife.
That's the other guy I hadn't thought about.
It's extremely obvious, but he just, I suppose, gave him a compliment and implied that he had a big penis.
The guy's like, shit, she's been sucking me off.
For years.
Is that wrong?
And then now, even though I know that that's not going to help, I'm not going to change because I do like it. I actually quite like
it. And she was making me go down on her. I never got that one, so this makes a lot of sense. it's good. Yeah, we should phase all football players out of...
Well, there's a guy who's like...
I think so.
I thought you got her pregnant by giving her a massage. That's what she told me. I've been tricked into thinking she gets pregnant.
Yeah, when you take
giving her a massage.
The bins out. That's good for a cycle, right?
Exactly. I've been tricked by my wag.
Yeah. Oh, we could get wags, you know?
Yeah.
If this podcast takes off.
Oh, man, that'd be... Like, I would love to be a wag.
Your podcast is popping.
Yeah, but there's no wags yet.
But define wag, it just means wife and girlfriend. Do you mean just get a girlfriend?
Or someone with status
based on your status.
They don't really have to do too much because of the Patreon dollars from
my
the podcast.
Whole, I want to be someone's husband, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, totally.
Like when you see me, they're like, oh, do you know he married, he was married to, like that's
it's actually a cool story.
Like, that's what I want my trivia thing to be.
There's a guy that I grew up with who's like, his kid was my friend, and I kind of realised...
His kid was your friend?
Yeah, as in, like, when I was growing up, like, my friend's parents.
Oh, sorry.
I realised that Yeah, he just had a cool dad who, like, worked part-time, and his mum was, like, I think at a more kind of, you know, high-paying job or whatever.
Awesome.
And so I realised that a lot of, he was, you know, he just had good stories. He's a charming guy. And I think a lot of his vibe was, like, going to events with his wife, have some beers. He loved to drink, this guy. And he was a charming guy. Yeah, and he's, you know, all above his station.
I just got to do this to a woman. I just got to be so sick on the beers that she's
And get me in the room. Sports. And, you know, you're getting a promotion. You know what I mean? Yeah, we love the husband.
Yeah, yeah.
It would be awesome, to just never worry. And then you could... Like being a stay-at-home dad, and then you go to events at night with your famous partner. Yeah. Totally. Oh my god! Then everyone's like, "And you stay at home and look after the kid? You're incredible!" Yeah. And you're like, "I'm all right.
Good." You know what the issue is, though, is that men are quite. I think they like power. And they're
confirm or deny.
Not always.
It's not what's cracked up to be.
You want
to
be, you're a coach.
I'm a coach, man. I'm more about installing power.
Totally. Like, I agree with you, but I think the issue here is that...
But if they don't know what you say, they're off the team.
Yeah, I mean, cuts are the hardest part, unfortunately.
Cuts! You're like, oh, can we get the mascot in? That's when you become the mascot. That's a trade in, trade out. He's the coach when it's easy. A few losses in a row, I'm getting in that fucking horse costume. Right. All the fans, boo! We know it's the coach in there, cunt. Get out of there and tell the boys how to get it back. It's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Subs. We hired you because you're an X's and O's guy.
Oh, that's having your cake and eating it too. That's classic. My point is, though, I reckon, like, men back in the day when, there was, like, we still, you know, it's still patriarchal elements to our society, but, like, it was worse in the past. And men had all the power, and they'd get, like, the women they chose were kind of, like, good side piece, like, trophy wife, women who were attractive, good at a party, but, like, not, you know, on the same level as them in terms of their career. And I think a lot of men still go for that kind of thing. Like a lot of sports people still have kind of a wag-esque. That's what we're talking about. I think this is the trouble. Successful women often want a successful man to be. And that's the issue. But we were like, no. Just let me in and don't expect anything of me.
Yeah, let me just be sick.
And let me hang out and have beers. That's what we want. Yeah. And I don't think that's what these women... desire, only a small percentage.
A power couple is disgusting. I don't like the idea of
they never work in this world.
No, because it's the competing egos. What you need is someone with no ego.
Yeah.
Who's willing to throw it all away.
That's what you can provide. Just a lack of, like, genuinely not being too competitive.
I'm doing that Will Smith photo every time down the Logie's runway. look at my home and away queen. Look at her.
And then you get, like, the compliments from the other girlfriends. Like, he's so good to her.
Yeah, he's such a supportive boyfriend. Exactly. How does it feel to have...
Thank you.
And Yaram, you have the hardest job of all. I'm ready to go.
And you'd kill with all the other, like, if you're in a, like, stay-at-home dad, like, most of the people in your circle still would be stay-at-home mums. So you'd be, they'd love you as well, because you'd be kind of like a bit of a novelty.
You ever watched the Channel 9 show House Husbands?
No.
Someone's had this conversation that we're having before.
Oh, really? You reckon?
Yeah. It was like Gary Sweet.
Yeah, when they pitched that.
Oh, you know the show.
When I saw Burr perform, he had 45 minutes, like, off the top about... maybe, like, little...
About the Australian TV show.
Maybe 10 minutes.
He's been on Raya.
He had 10 minutes on House Husbands the first time I saw him.
That's awesome.
And I was howling.
Just, yeah, it's good areas. Man, it's like that guy from Underbelly that plays John Ibrahim. And he's wearing, like, a baby...
Forestarani.
Yeah, is that his name? Mm.
Yeah.
And he's wearing the thing where you... The baby Bjorn? Baby Bjorn? Baby Bjorn, baby Bjorn. That was a song.
Yeah. I think it was an ad song.
And it was like, baby, baby,
boy. I don't know.
It sounded like that. Did you watch that that Will Smith interview with Jada the other day?
Yeah, it was hilarious.
That's some of the craziest things. So I watched all 18 minutes.
I didn't. Yeah. What is it?
Man, are you across this?
They they break up live on Facebook. Like,
No.
What do you mean? This is his wife.
They were having a break 4 years ago, and she had sex with... this, like, rapper, August.
Who was friends. She met him through her son.
Jaden introduced them. And then, imagine introducing someone to your mum, and then your mum fucks that person.
Yeah. I'd be like, Mum! What the hell?
Anyway, all these rumors have been circulating.
So I wanted to fuck.
They do an interview, and then she's got to be like, well, yeah, what do you think about this, Will? And then Will's like... Oh, I think you should explain it. So they're just on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
So they're doing an interview with a third person?
No, just the two of them interviewing each other about her cheating. But she didn't even call it cheating. She called it...
entanglement.
Which I like.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's actually what the movie Tangled.
The most embarrassing when she's like, we ride together, we die together. Oh, bad marriage for life. And they're like, they fist bump.
It's awesome.
And then Will Smith's just like... it's like
using your movies to like legitimize the cheating. Oh my God, that's awful. Why would they have done that before?
That's a bit that they must do.
I reckon
one of them likes the bit more than the other.
It sounds like James having a better time on it. Exactly.
I've heard Will talk about he's like marriage is the hardest. He's like there's just nothing harder in the world
than watching your wife fuck this rapper every Thursday night. On Facebook Live.
I googled the guy August. I can't remember his name now. I've forgotten. I watched
his name's
rap.
August.
Yeah, August something.
He's done well because she's just one of the. She's absolutely beautiful. Oh, so totally. Will Smith. They're a power couple.
Black don't crack. Huh?
Aren't
they like both in their 50s?
This is my impression of Will Smith.
She's 48.
Fuck, she's looking good.
It's my impression of Will Smith meeting a guy called September. You stay the fuck away from my wife.
Oh, because of August. Yeah.
Okay, this is my impression of
Our reaction to the joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Won't let his kids watch Juno now. It's like kind of a month.
I'd like to thank you for coming to the press conference. I'd like to thank Yaz for jumping on board the sinking ship with me. It showed a lot of bravery. Sam Taunton did not even try. Yaz was there for
me. It's been an honor.
Thank you very much. Exactly. Juno, it's been good to know you.
Juno is good. That's good. Do you know my first ever girlfriend had a baby today?
There are the beers. Would you like another one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. It disgusts me, you guys doing this.
Your first girlfriend had a baby?
Did you picture having kids with her at the time at any point?
No, but it makes you think, though.
Totally. And so now she's had a kid with a new man.
What's the man? Is the man... Are you insecure about that? Since the guy holding the new
I'm not insecure about anything, but it does, in terms of like time.
You want to fuck this kid.
I'm like, what's the kid's this? The kid seeing anyone? Or?
I think I used to have a joke. There's a few ways to do that. I used to have a joke where I'm like, my ex-girlfriend recently had a baby. I'm so jealous. I want to be a baby.
Hard to tell about
this baby.
The baby, yes. Because she put some, she put photos of the baby's face. The dad, like she had the baby today. Photos of the baby already on Instagram.
Totally. How much earlier could it be?
Just go I suppose live
the sonogram
with the
goes up online.
Yeah, sonogram goes up.
Yeah, but just like go live. With the
Have I told you about my friend from high school? Like when I was 12, I don't know if they did this for you, but it's part of sex ed in my primary school thing. We watched a woman give birth. Like it was like a pretty clinical
with the heaps
video.
Of pubic hair in the
totally
bath.
Yep
yeah no, I think exactly. I've seen the one yeah
so yeah that's like part of the you curriculum I'd imagine that. That woman is my mate's mum. It was shot in England. She's English.
English.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't him being born, but it was his older brother. It was shot in like the mid 80s or whatever.
Does he have to? Because you know, you could get a note to get out of scripture.
You don't want to be around.
His mum write the note being like, don't let him see your pussy.
It's like Inception or something. Like he can't. It's not right. Well, yeah, but man, imagine fucking finding that out when you're 15.
Did he get teased? Surely.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I didn't go to school with him, but like,
I want to meet him just to be to tease him. Now
it's not bad, and it's actually beautiful though, because like when you think about it, like I've met his mum. She's lovely, and they came to her in the hospital, and they're like, "Can we like we're looking for one to film, like for you know to educate kids and stuff?" And she said, "Yes." It's like actually just speaks to what a lovely family they are. It's but when you're 15, you're like, "Oh."
Nice pussy.
It could have happened to any of us. I feel like if that offer went to my mum, she would have jumped on it.
You reckon?
I was a home birth. Like as if she's not saying there's a camera crew sniffing around, she's like, come on in. She had a party at my birth.
Totally.
There were people in the other rooms just having there was 50 people there partying. She's giving birth in the other room.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
It's not bad. So good at the yarn.
Yeah. I came out had to mingle.
You came out mingling.
I came in like, I've just got to check in on everyone. Are you having a good night? Can I get you a drink?
Yeah, I've got some placenta left over. Would anyone like to suck on my placenta?
Everyone's like, how's your day been? I'm like, let's talk about the last 9 months.
This is cool. This party is cool. There's a lot of stuff going on that I'm not familiar with, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. If you're a baby born right now into COVID times and you had to entertain straight away at a party, you'd be like, I've been self-isolating for the last 9 months.
You'd be crushing.
Yeah, it'd be good to you, wouldn't
oh,
it?
Oh, man, that's not bad.
Yeah, in one place COVID can't get. My mum's vagina.
That's pretty specific. Very tight. What other small talk with a baby born recently make at a party?
I'm buying it. I'm listening.
Yeah.
I'm telling other guests, like, has everyone met that baby?
Yeah. Baby's killing it. You look over the baby's chatting to like five different people. They're like,
They're howling. Yeah.
What the fuck are they talking about? I wouldn't need to talk to this baby.
Yeah. Yeah. The baby's like, coolest I feel like I've been on a leash this time. It would be a baby. The fact the baby could talk. I hope we get that point. Because you know how, like.
You think that's where science is going?
Well, I hope so.
For babies. Yeah, most people are looking into a COVID vaccine, but there are a small subset of scientists that are looking into how to make babies be able to talk sooner. Because we think they're going to be entertaining. We have a feeling they've got some good stuff to say.
A baby pops out in a little suit, like a bow tie, holding a virgin daiquiri, a virgin margarita.
Before we were just describing the show House Husbands, now we're just describing Family Guy. Yeah, we're just saying Stewie is funny.
This, and this goes back to my other point that there's funnier people than us in the world.
Totally. And they're all called Seth MacFarlane.
There's a baby born today that's already got better yarns than us. Oh, is that what you think?
Well, no, there is a baby born today that will have better yarns than us.
Yeah, one day.
And we're going to find that baby.
When they're on TikTok 2.0.
Yeah, what's the next one? I joined TikTok.
You're on TikTok?
Popped a video up last night. Oh, let's check. No,
oh, my God.
I haven't had any followers.
This guy's on Rare and TikTok. What are what are we doing?
Nothing. I got nothing going on.
We're just trying to find a fucking girlfriend millionaire.
Pub. Man, I'm out here trying to date one of these home and away birds.
Totally.
All right, what do we got?
Oh, my God.
It's got one like from me.
That's it?
Is that it? Like, what?
It's got 230 views, I think.
Oh, who?
And one like.
Yeah, but I've got no...
I'm not a TikTok aficionado, but that doesn't seem like a fantastic ratio.
No, Tom. I don't know how it works either, but I was talking to a comedian the other day, and he was...
Who?
Daniel Muggleton.
Oh, right,
and
yeah.
He was like, you've got to get your videos on TikTok.
Oh, right.
And then I go on there.
And he's someone to follow their advice too.
Is he on TikTok?
He's a big online guy.
Yeah.
And I go on there and Neil Kohokta...
Kohatka.
He's big. He's doing big numbers on there.
Totally.
Oh, yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's someone, quite critically, already had an online following.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of people follow him.
I've got people.
But apparently it's... I've heard good things as well.
I don't have Neil numbers. No. I would love to become a YouTuber.
Totally.
Because I've been following them a lot lately, and they're just, like, so...
It's clear. Earnest. You're jealous. You're clear.
Well,
I'm jealous, Tom. Yeah.
That's what my friend's saying. He's like, now's the time to get into Twitch, because...
Yes.
It's, like, all the first... Like,
right Tom now, and Demi are doing that a lot.
But they're, like, they're the cutting edge now. But it's, like, they're probably the only funny people doing Twitch.
No, you know who is great that does Twitch is...
Limmy.
Limmy, yeah. You know that Scottish dude on Twitter? I don't have Twitter anymore.
Yeah, but I'm talking like now, like here in Australia.
Are you talking about in this podcast studio?
In this podcast studio, we should all be Twitch streaming.
Well, why?
You know who I've been seeing on Twitch? One of these babies. I wouldn't mind. God, I mean, we need to get one of these babies on TikTok.
With a few yarns on TikTok.
It's yarning up a storm. It's
once we have the technology to make it talk...
I was walking to this very podcast and I was like, we got to get some cameras on this thing. I'm not even joking. Because I was like, all these podcasts have got cameras. People are filming them.
Dude, I go to the pub once a week with McCann to have beers, and every time we're there, we're watching the Matty Johns podcast on Fox Sports.
Yeah, totally.
It's just on.
That's a beautiful podcast studio.
It's amazing.
I don't know if you've paid that much attention to it, but the soundboard not plugged into anything.
Oh, I haven't. I'm definitely
have a look at that.
Have you seen that photo of him pretending to be Michael Jordan in his office, where he's got like Matty Johns in the Chicago Bulls jersey, he's got the Michael Jordan earring, like he's smoking a cigar, he's like. There's all this other shit in the background. It just looks like a kid getting a photo with all their presents on Christmas.
I haven't seen that, but that's awesome.
Man, he's the best.
Manny Jones is like 5'7". He's a short guy.
Of course.
And so for him to try to be Michael Jordan, terrific. He drinks a lot, that guy.
Manny Jones or Michael Jordan?
I reckon both of them. Probably.
I reckon
Jordan,
both.
You can see Jordan's eyes.
Yeah, I mean, the eyes, the scotch looks neat, and it's like...
Yeah.
It's up and down.
He's drinking beers. And
it's up and down in those edits.
It's going up, down.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa, whoa, whoa. All right. Just he refills
it
in here.
Don't have it in shot. Don't have it in shot.
Exactly. He just demanded it. That's the thing. I reckon, you know, most people they filmed, they'd just be like, you know, no, you can't have this. You can't have this. But it's Jordan. So it's like, refill, please.
Do you reckon he just drinks heaps now?
Yeah, I think he just drinks.
Never not
golf.
Drinking.
I mean, wouldn't you? But then that's the thing. I remember listening to a podcast with, I think, Jalen Rose, who's you know, a popular broadcaster now, but a basketball player in the early noughties, late 90s. And he was saying that, like, when he was playing Jordan in the late 90s, everyone thought that he was, like, this, you know, crazy athlete that worked harder than everyone, which is, like, true to some extent. But then you watch this doco and he's fucking smoking a cigar and having beers all the time. It's like, oh, he wasn't, you know, he was fucking around. Well,
there was, they thought that flu game was supposed to be like the theory was, it was he was just hungover. Like he was playing.
Don't be silly. It was a dodgy Utah pizza.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's that one, apparently there's a game in the finals when they're playing Phoenix. That, like Ahmad Rashad, that commentator is good friends with him. It's like in one of the, I think it's like game three, Jordan's physically darker skinned because he was playing golf. Like he played 18 holes of golf like the day before. Like,
totally. That's great.
Like, he just didn't care.
Totally.
Someone was telling me in the night he was just a big Coke guy in the 90s, which is like so funny. They had that big storyline in the 80s Bulls and how he was like not a Coke guy.
The greatest assist of all time is him being like, some of the players were doing cocaine.
Yeah. He didn't rat anyone out. Yeah. He didn't say.
He's such a like... You know, why didn't, like, the whole time, he never was nice to Scottie Pippen in that documentary, really. Like, he was kind of, a few times he was like, you know, Scottie's all right. But he gets angry at Scottie so many times when he's like, that was wrong by Scottie, he did that wrong. And it's like, he was making $10. Just like, give, like,
yeah, Scottie.
He should have stepped in and been like, have some of my money, Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, please.
Well, he just didn't, I think, first of all, he's the most competitive guy probably ever to exist. So it doesn't want anyone else to get credit for what he did. That's one thing I'd say. But I think also he just didn't have a career without him. Like, yeah, he took him for granted. It's classic. Mm.
Yeah.
Like,
if you were coaching the Bulls, yes, how would you have done things differently?
Because I've read, like, the Phil Jackson book. Like, I've actually...
You got to read this Phil Smythe book.
I've all read this Phil.
Shut up about the Phil Smythe book. No one's fucking heard of him. We're talking Chicago Bulls.
NBL game for the Canberra Cannons.
The Canberra... No one's heard of the Cannon.
And now defunct franchise, the Canberra Cannons.
The coach, like, bombing halfway through, trying to get into the Cannon. We're losing by 20.
He gets fired out into the game.
Exactly. Used to with one of the t-shirts.
Yeah, they fire the balls. They were firing balls out. Dangerous.
What do you mean balls?
Like basketballs?
Yeah, basketballs into the crowd.
What?
Just like trying to catch them in front of like kids so they don't get absolutely
That's too
up.
Big a ball to be Man, firing.
You know what a good piss up is? The WNBL when we went.
Oh, we were talking about going the other day.
Yeah, next time.
Totally. Was that the WNBL? I thought that was like Div 1.
Oh, no, when we went to watch the Sydney Flames?
Yeah, they in the WNBL.
That's WNBL.
It was just at a uni. I thought it was like a uni thing.
They used to be Sydney Uni Flames.
Yes, gotcha.
Like Dandenong still have a team and stuff.
Dandenong have a team.
Are they still wearing the tight? No, they moved away from that. That was crazy.
It was us in Brazil, I think, were the only ones that were
wearing
the,
tight bodysuits.
Totally.
That looked like they were like Susie O'Neill swimming.
They got cocky after Kathy Freeman because she nailed it in her bodysuit. But it's like, that's different to basketball. There's more, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a full suit.
Basketball's cool because you can wear baggy clothes.
Totally.
You were saying, so what would you do differently coaching the Chicago Bulls in the golden era?
Nothing. I would do exactly what Phil did. A lot of a coach's job is just ego management.
So it's
like, he had those big shoulders.
A lot of speeches.
Did that help him coaching?
I think it does, yes. Because it's ultimately more physically imposing.
Yeah.
But that's not, I don't rely on that as a coach.
You've got good shoulders.
Before I commence my speech, I'm not going to rely on my shoulders this evening, boys.
Would you put your shoulder pads potentially if you got the gig?
Never.
Okay.
If they sniff out that I'm a phony, you're on record.
You're on record here.
This guy's shoulders are fake.
I would never.
There's a doco in 20 years. Yeah, pretty good coach, except for his fucking fake shoulders.
Absolutely no. You won't get that from me.
No.
You want to be a guy who's like, listen, I'm going to put my head first. You know, like I'm going to do all the hard work too. With yeah. Like I'm doing the drills with them. Like
oh yeah. Fuck, it's okay.
Like, hey, we're doing poorly. I'm doing it terribly. But it's yeah, like, yeah. I'm part of this team with you too. Like
you go through with it all.
I think you have to. Yeah, I'm one of those guys.
I feel like again, you just don't understand what a coach is.
No,
you're like, yeah, I'm playing with them. It's like, no, you're describing a player. Before you're describing a mascot, it's like this guy doesn't know what even a coach is. He insists he's a coach. And it's just due to a lack of understanding of the definition.
Three Albury's, three trophies. That's all I can say.
You won each time.
We won each time. I mean, one time we did have a guy who was playing for the Hockey Roos.
Okay.
Really?
Our team, because Glebe, the team I played for, was like a coach, was super... They're super competitive.
And yeah, they've got a long history in the world of hockey.
They've got a huge,
Glebe is a proud sporting suburb. They used to have a rugby league team as well.
Yeah, I played AFL for the local Glebe team.
They got the Doggies, as in the Greyhounds.
The Glebe Greyhounds is the junior AFL team.
Are they called the Greyhounds?
Yeah, the Greyhounds.
That's awesome.
Collingwood colours.
That's great. Yeah,
confusing. But they were good.
Yeah, they were good.
Okay, and that's kind of why they won.
Do you ever get no one headhunted you to go further in the coaching?
No.
There's a good hockey centre in Melbourne in Parkville. I think it's up the 55 tram goes past it. If you're ever in the area, get off, check it out.
You know so much minutiae about geography. It's insane.
They play the World Cup.
Yaz knows about media stuff, you're always like, yeah, you've got to get down to bloody Albury-Wodonga. There's a different border that goes around the lake, which is called Lake. And interestingly, Ned Kelly actually took a piss there in 1947.
Look, sorry, I'm well-travelled. I do have to apologise for it.
They're all skills perfect for podcasting.
Yeah, it's fantastic stuff.
But in all seriousness, this is a terrific hockey centre. Yeah, you should get down there and have a look.
Man, we're probably going to go to Studio 10 as soon as they let this COVID shit wraps.
If you guys want to come. I'd love to. Yeah. That's a show that needs a live audience.
What does that mean? And go and watch.
Yeah, go and watch live.
Oh, right. Okay.
You got to see Joe Hildebrand.
Did you listen to our episode with Merrick?
No.
Oh, because Tom brought up something that happened on Studio 10.
Oh, really? True.
A clip.
Yeah.
And if you're listening and you haven't listened, get your little ear.
As soon as I go, the walk home, I am fucking putting that episode on. It's like,
yeah.
There was just a guy on there who was, I suppose, an international traveling sperm donor who would, I don't know if you caught that episode.
Of course, the international traveling sperm donor.
He's got like 100 children or whatever.
Yeah, people are always catching me just watching people's farewells on Studio 10.
Like, I feel like there's like good, it's a weird type of show.
Yeah. But they always have, like, it's just the same cake. It's the same, like, everyone gets the same song and dance when they leave. Like,
it goes for a long, this is the thing about, it's like a 3-hour show.
It's a 3-hour show, yeah.
3 hours.
I think it's like, 9 to 12, they do.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe that's what leads to good TV, is having so much time and, like, running out of people to have as guests. Yeah. So the standards are dropped significantly. Yeah. So you just have, like, world-roaming fucking sex pests, and you have to invite them on because it's like literally the producers are like, who else?
So this
guy just like travels around fucking people without a license.
The
he lives in Argentina.
The most tattooed man in the country is busy right now.
Exactly.
You could probably get pictures of to get on for an interview.
Man, I think you should apply to be a host.
Oh, I would love nothing more.
You're in the
10
stable. They know you.
They know me.
I reckon that's something for him to have in the pocket for later on.
No, you want to do it now while you're young. Like, why the fuck not? Like,
imagine if I revolutionized Studio 10.
I couldn't be proud of it.
People are like, this is cool, you know, and then in John O'Coleman's has to start selling Jordans or whatever.
Welcome to the advertising segment. Due to the new producer, Sam, we're actually now going to be selling the sickest shit there is. So here are some...
Frickin' Culture Club.
Yeah.
What are those shoes? The cool shoes?
Jordans?
TNs.
TNs?
Oh, we're selling TNs and Kanye West CDs.
And off-white hoodies.
That's it.
That's something.
Our market has changed because we have one new guest who's very cool.
I wouldn't wear a suit either. I'd be in there in like a basketball jersey.
Man.
So you wouldn't take the job, but if you did, you'd wear cool shit.
Yeah, you'd go like rugby league player in Cuda. Like basketball shirt, flat brand.
Yeah. And I wouldn't talk.
They'd hate you.
I wouldn't talk much. I'd be like, this is fucking lame.
Can I get an amen? All the old ladies are like, what?
I'd start beef with Hildebrand.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be like, you still writing for News Limited, bro? And he'd be like, let's not talk about that on
here. Yeah. Hey, do you have a Coke guy? I'd always say, I keep bringing up that.
You got a Coke guy?
Did you call that Coke guy? Can I get that Coke guy's number up here? Awesome. Like, always on air, just keep doing that.
I'd like to reiterate that this man does cocaine.
He's out with a note, it just says, can I have your Coke guy? Denise, while we're at it, do you have a Coke guy?
So Denise Drysdale left the show. She was battling health stuff.
Oh, no.
And then I think she's fine now.
Did she come back?
Yeah, I think she's back now. But then they went to her house to do like a little you know, like a little piece about, you know, what's Denise been
what's
up to?
What's her place like?
It's amazing. It's in the Gold Coast. And it's like her whole house.
I was flying her in.
Every morning?
Yeah, I think she was just staying here at Jessica Rose's place.
No, they weren't. The budget's not that low.
No, I guess
she's crashing.
She was crashing.
They're like, we'll get you here, but you got to find a lounge. You got to find a room.
I think so, yeah. Like, she would. She was staying at Jessica Rose's place. Dude, I'm so deep. Like, because Jessica Rose and Denise Drysdale.
That's so funny.
Had a podcast. And they let slip. They're like, Denise Drysdale would do chores around Jessica Rowe and Peter Overton's house.
You don't know who's friends.
That
you know
is
what I mean?
The craziest thing I have ever heard.
Yeah, man. That's like, and I'm like, these are all theories me and McCann have brought, like, thought of, and we're not wrong on a lot of them.
Yeah.
Okay. I reckon we're about an 80% strike rate.
So you think they were like, we can't put you up? I reckon.
No. They were
Jessica
just...
Rowe's like, I've got a lovely place.
Yeah.
Pete's busy.
Yeah,
out most of the day. Yeah. You'll have the place to yourself.
I reckon there's at least a spare room and not a couch, surely.
Yeah, she's got like a guest house.
She's on like a fold-out.
But like...
Oh, my God. And then like they're in the cab on the way there, like, let's not waste it.
Yeah.
Let's not waste any of the banter, the classic Studio 10 banter.
Oh, because Jessica Rose on the show as well.
Yeah, she was on the show.
She's not reading news anymore. Just she's doing variety.
Well, I think she's gone now.
Oh, Studio 10. Who's left? Hildebrand.
It's like Hildebrand. It's like Angela Bishop. It's got the call up.
Oh, the former Channel 10 entertainment reporter.
She's got the call up. Now she's on the desk.
And
it's so funny because now you realize why she was kept as just an entertainment reporter for like 40 years. Because it's like, you've got no, like, there's nothing there.
Big smile.
Not reporting on anything you've done.
Exactly.
No entertainment out of your mouth.
None.
So funny that you follow this.
And then, so who is Danya ever doing it?
Who?
Grant Denyer, he's Channel 10 talent.
Yeah, he's not doing it. I think you can. I think you've got to pay the big bucks to get Grant up that early.
He would be. Can I say he'd be electric on that? Track.
Wouldn't be able to see him over the desk.
Denyer,
he's famously quite short. Yeah, sorry, I'm just trying to get involved here. I don't really know much about these characters. With Grant Denyer, I know about him.
But Denise Drysdale's house in the Gold Coast has like a moat. Like there's a pool
that's so
that
kind of
goes around the whole.
Yeah,
it's like
Denise.
So sick.
But it does make sense. She lives on the Gold Coast now.
Yeah,
she's got GC all over her.
Of course, the chicken dance. She still does the. This woman got famous for doing the chicken dance in the while everyone was at war.
That's how she made it big.
Yeah, she was like
at war. What do you mean?
Well, just like during wartime or whatever. It was like black and white TV, and they're like, "We need a star." And then this young.
Hang on. When? Who?
World War Drysdale. I'm just.
She got big in
Vietnam.
It wasn't the war. I'm just being smart.
That was her.
How old is this woman?
No,
she's pretty old. She'd be 75
easily. Yeah.
Oh right, but
that's
still
the chicken dance was her TikTok.
That was her TikTok.
Yeah.
And I think she was like, yeah, she was like a beautiful young lady. So they were like, but yeah, she would just she'd come on the shows and do
the way you said beautiful. Trust me, she was a beautiful young lady.
Yeah, I mean, still a bit of a babe now.
During wartime.
Totally.
Classic early 70s, war with me and my sexual urges after watching this chicken dance. Am I right, boys?
Imagine getting horny seeing the chicken dance.
Oh, man.
Back in the day, that was probably the most titillating. In the Victorian period, that would have been the most subversive thing you could imagine.
Now it's got to be.
Now it's quite hacky. I don't find it subversive at all.
You're telling me
the chicken dance is hacky?
Is hack?
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Get the fuck out of
this podcast studio.
What do you mean?
You have access to and we don't. If I saw a comedian do the chicken dance on stage.
Yeah, I'd be happy.
I'd be like, woo-hoo.
Okay. But now we're talking, I think there'd be a layer of irony involved in a current performance of the chicken dance.
Sure.
I don't think that counts. I think that's not like an earnest performance of the chicken dance.
Have you ever thought about fucking the stool?
Thought about it.
I just did a gig. There's no stool to fuck.
Oh, my God.
We had to pick up the
mic. I don't think
off
I've ever
ground.
Fucked the stool. How was the gig?
There wasn't a lot of people there. Mm. But it was okay. But the microphones were numbered. So the tech guy before the front, he's like, when are you going on? I'm like, I don't know, dude.
Oh, man. I thought you guys had soundboards. Oh, man, you could have got me with one of those. Like,
yeah, that's good. good stuff.
Fucking dribbling about something.
Is that a new one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't usually, but I, yeah. I mean, when I'm here early, sometimes.
I mean, that was perfect. Okay. That was real good.
He had a look. He had a little grin.
Well, we started out. I was going to be a soundboard guy on the pod.
Oh my god!
And not even speak.
A little, but also like mostly focus on like having a soundboard.
Mostly focus.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, like we had like,
and then they were like, "This guy could coach us."
That is coach-esque.
I was a demon on the piss, and Jared's like, "Keep talking. We got to get him on the show.
Bring it in.
We got it.
Wow. So that's how you got to be on your podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
How's it all going, by the way?
It's going pretty well.
I hear you signed a big sponsorship.
We got a ball trimmer sponsorship.
Now, Jared's is gone this back real? And forth yeah. with
this
me
is,
about
by
this.
The way, the mug off is what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah,
that's your off. Podcast.
Yeah,
Jared's come back and forth. His story's always changing. It's day by day. He's like, well, we said no to them. And then he's like, we're back in.
Hang on, a ball trimmer, like an actual...
Yeah, like what are we manscaping.
What are we thinking? We're thinking like a shaver that's got small little things so it doesn't nick you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Right.
It's, yeah.
Interesting.
I mean, it is difficult
it's called
to
the manscape,
shave down there.
So.
And what are we talking cash-wise for this?
No, I don't want to hear... No, to purchase it. We can't hear that.
We can hear that. I'll beep it if he wants, but come on.
Oh, yeah, it's like... it's not much because we haven't got great...
No, but yeah.
It was like, yeah, I think it works out to be like... And then we're kicking skin at 10% or something like that.
100K.
Yeah. For a month. Yeah, it's crazy. They really. They love it. They love the controversy.
Exactly. They've actually done the numbers. And we have the audience that wants their balls smooth more than any other.
I think people would. You know, like it's a lot of trade. It's all the only people that listen to us are like businesses. But it's all like
businesses.
What's like every second
account. Just hit my mic in anger.
CEOs only. Yeah, the mug off. A famous CEO. Podcast,
yeah. But like every
they're trying to get tips how to rip off customers.
It's funny that you consider these guys CEOs of like a flooring company.
Yeah, it's a PTY Limited, mate. Someone's going to be the CEO.
That's true.
Who does the taxes?
That's true.
I'm looking at CEO, CFO, director, chairman combined.
Yeah, my brother does that. He's like he owns his own business. But yeah, like, I'm a CEO.
Yeah,
exactly. That's awesome. I'll never be a CEO.
Are you trying to box? You can start a company. Yeah. Be one tomorrow.
I've got a. No, I don't have a company. I'm a sole trader. That's what I am.
Yeah, sick.
I don't hit that button.
Man, I've got some.
Please, no. Keep your fingers down.
I've got some sound like bites. I might send you away.
Oh,
then.
It's not bad because
what do you got?
Just like stuff like Mark Latham saying like, nah. I think the average Australian man's ignoring all the feminist claptrap that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
So there's some good ones.
That's awesome.
Like there's one of like, yeah, just Mark Latham again, just being like, and on the ABC, you can't say Aborigine anymore.
Yazamataz!
Oh, that's great!
That's crazy. It's so late in the podcast that you were holding that. What, you missed the window?
I forgot about it.
God, that's so good. I might bring the soundboard back.
Do it.
Oh, look, it's not bad.
I'll send you the, I think I talked about it when I did your podcast last. Rex Hunt at the football.
Oh, man, I'm
all aware. It's so good.
Yeah, have you heard the Address to the Nation? Surely.
Oh, yeah, the Rex Hunt one.
Yeah, where he's like, I was going to London and the streets of Piccadilly, main drag of London was never been, you know, so he's like acting like Rex Hunt showing up to London like the Beatles coming home.
And what is it? What? Because he's the, what's he self refer to himself
he's
as?
He's an angler. Like a world class angler.
From because he's from Marab.
The fat kid from Morty Alec High School.
Fat kid from On Get This, they always used to.
That's where I discovered it
from. Yeah,
you're
like, the fat kid from Morty.
What is this? Is this a speech he did?
You're familiar with Rex Hunt, though.
I'm familiar with Rex Hunt.
So he had like a radio show, I think, where he just did like an inspirational speech.
Oh, right.
And he's had the craziest career, that guy. It's insane. Football player to fishing show, iconic fishing show guy, calling football, and then really doing these like inspirational radio shows where he kind of gives his view on the world.
And he's like, I used to be the fat kid from Morty Alec High School who kissed a fish and let it go. And he's like, and
can you play it, put it in at the end of this podcast?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And it's like, the same fat kid who stood up to the thugs in the scallop industry.
Yeah,
it's so crazy.
But hang on, is this just... used to use on Get This all the time.
Yeah,
the thugs in the scallop industry.
But is this just... like in a, you know, a normal like a radio show, they play a song, they come back and maybe it's like two or three hosts and they just chat and then they play another song, but it would just come back to him and he'd be like,
I think it's more of like a 2GB, like an Aaron Jones.
And he would take calls and stuff.
But he'd do little bits where he'd just say some stuff that was inspiring.
Well, I think he did it one week.
Like hot take type stuff as well. You know,
he did it like 1 week and then the next week he must have got like a lot of good feedback. Because then this one he's like, so I'm going
to... I love a guy week two after some good feedback. That's when the real gems come out to play. It's like, oh, maybe every thought I've ever had is gold.
But he starts...
It could be possible that everything's great.
Set your tape recorders because yibbida-yibbida. Here we go. Like, and then, I was born and spawned in Bay 13. Like, there's so many good lines.
Get on Raya and try and become a director by flirting with the people on there. You get on the beers. Yeah. They're not, but, you know, it'll
Who's
flow through.
Who's the most famous person you've seen on there?
Oh, well, I've moved into... I'm doing a lot of South Africa at the moment on Raya.
Really?
You going around the world?
Well, no, you kind of do go around
no
the world.
No one will fuck you?
Yeah, no, they won't.
It's like, no one in the world
so
was
interested.
So they just
kind of send you around and you just kind of have a look. And so
Hang on, you can choose where you are, is that right?
No, they kind of show it to you. But then they go back to America, I think, is endless. Like LA, I think, just goes forever.
Yes.
So they try to flick you over to...
But they tell you where you are currently.
Yeah,
like
and
they're like you're currently in South Africa.
Thing and you can see. Oh no! It just comes up that you're doing like the 20 in a row are all South African.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And there was but there's a lot of famous South African people on there. I don't know who they are, but they've all got just like millions of followers. Sure. But Cara Delevingne.
That's a great
cast. Oh, I saw Demi Lovato the other day on there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's famous.
Man, you should be like, have you like match with her and just be like, have you got a good Wicca number?
Oh,
wasn't
funny.
She into heroin? Wasn't that her thing?
Yeah, I'm like, do you want Joe Hildebrand's coca?
Do you know Joe Hildebrand? Listen, I'm trying to get Joe Hildebrand's
I'm actually going to be host of Studio 10 soon, so come over to Australia. I could probably get you a spot. And I can get you his coke guy to get you heroin, something that you've desperately been trying to avoid.
It's like, I used to live with Charlie McCann, another comic, and we'd just get stoned every morning and watch Studio 10.
Mm.
And then, so that's where the love first came from.
And then we'd kind of concoct our own theories about what we saw, and then it turned out most of them were pretty much true.
Yeah, right.
And
that's
then,
so
like,
sick.
That
everyone gets fired from the show. They have to like rebrand. But then the showrunner who created the show starts a podcast where for the first like 30 episodes he just bitches about Studio 10 and it's like we were right.
Really?
So that happened.
So there's an inside baseball Studio 10 podcast.
Well, it started kind of like it's like a TV black box. They just talk about like TV, but
oh my god.
It started by the showrunner of
If we go back into lockdown, how about this?
Yep.
Yaz, and you can be involved as well.
Studio 420.
Yep. We do like a Talking Dead style recap show every morning after Studio 10.
Oh.
Okay.
And we just do a quick 40 minutes over Zoom.
You don't have to call me. You just have to live stream into my house from the moment it hangs up. And I'm just calling McCann being like, and it's just so crazy.
We could film that. I think I'd be okay with filming that.
Yeah, terrific.
That's actually a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I'm doing one like Haystos just started and Jamie Kirk started like a niche podcast where they're breaking down every episode of Sorkin's fucking... He had like a series where he wrote about like a fictional SNL.
Yes, I have. It's like what 30 Rock was based on.
Is it good?
It's terrible.
Is it like heavy dialogue, like all this stuff?
It's like, but Sorkin, I guess, has never seen or written comedy. Mm. But it's like his idea of what he thinks like a comedy show.
Yeah, just the brainy, wordy guy trying to do funny stuff. That's
I thought
sick.
That, the you know, the opening scene of The Newsroom, the guy.
Oh. Yes.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah,
I was like, as if someone would ever do this.
But that's the future. It's like podcast. Are just mixtapes now. You just like you saturate the market with like four kind of niche one-off podcasts, and then
totally, and then you one pops, and then people go to the other one. But we're also on TikTok. I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I got one follower. I mean, no, I don't have a follower.
You don't
you got to promote it more.
I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah, hey, if you're listening and you have TikTok, please.
What's the account name?
Sam. I learned how to stop it.
Let it play.
All right.
That's so awesome. What else you got on
me? I just did Yaramataz. And I also, I did actually recorded a TikTok, funnily enough. Yeah.
You know, you should get like a
bad audio quality.
Boing. As soon as this guy started.
Well, no, they always are funny.
Yeah.
And even the sirens one. Because yeah. when Campbell and I were doing that gig, and yeah, do the siren after a joke doesn't go that well, or even if it goes well, it's just people love it.
No, it's sick. It's actually the future of comedy.
Yeah, car crash if a joke doesn't land is so funny.
Randy was way ahead of its time.
Randy?
Aziz's character.
Oh, totally. Randy.
Yeah. Did you ever see that from the movie Funny People?
No.
He's got a special on Amazon.
It's pretty
Aziz
sick.
And Zari or Randy?
Well,
Aziz in his special, I think, does like 20 minutes as Randy.
Okay,
it's like a parody of a stand-up comedian, but it's actually pretty sick.
I thought we cancelled that guy. Didn't we cancel him?
I think this was pre. So,
he got cancelled.
I think he got cancelled. Who fucking knows?
Nah, he's back.
I watched his special. It was directed in a very bizarre way.
Did Louis do it? Did Louis direct it? That's the most work thing you can do now is get Louis to direct your new special.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that would be
the other way.
People would watch it. Yeah. It would actually be sick.
Louis' French girlfriend to direct mine. Well,
I think you just leave it to the very end, and at the very last thing, just like directed by Louis C.K.
So if you enjoyed this, fucking think about that.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say written by Louis C.K.
That's actually a great gag, because at the end of every stand-up special, there's like directed by, written by, and it's all the same guy, but then directed by, performed by, and then written by, the fucking Louis C.K. What?
He can't take the last back.
Jerry Seinfeld, right? What the hell? Oh, dear.
Oh, Lord.
Now, long after I'm dead and forgotten, it won't matter what house I lived in, what car I drove, or the size of my bank balance. What might matter is that during my time in fishing, and the example that I set to others was important in the life of a kid, my kid, Matthew, who hands these ideals down to his kids, and then those down to the other kids. And 100 years from now, I dream that a father and his son will catch a mighty big snapper in Port Phillip Bay. And perhaps, just perhaps, they might remember the fat kid from Mordialloc High School who kissed a fish and let it go. They might also remember the same kid standing up to the thugs in the scallop industry who thought their standover tactics would work again. They didn't. I am prepared to go even further with anyone or group who dares to threaten the existence and future of fishing and families and the unlawful damage of the delicate environment that goes with fishing. The thing to do with your life is the thing you do best. The sin is not to do what you were meant to do. Last week, that fat kid was in Cambridge, 2 hours out of London. A bloke came up and said he enjoyed my show. He gave me a business card. The address was the Netherlands. This is dizzy stuff, folks, but I'm sure you, my loyal listeners, can understand that that's not what this is all about. This is about setting an example to the kids. No matter what, no matter what, we're all good at something. The ocean is my church, where I go to find freedom. The ocean is my church, a daily pilot. Pray for love so I can see him. The ocean is my church. My church. Lord knows that I need him. I need him. That's why the ocean is my church. Gather round and let me tell you all a tale. I'm about to give a fishing tip that's sure to never fail. What's funny is I guarantee that everyone has used it. A method that's more popular than music. You've been sitting, waiting, praying for a fish. But who are you expecting to fulfill your magic wish? Talking to yourself, muttering, wondering if I'm gonna catch. But face it, there's no way you're knowing that. It's a fact. If you see it, you believe it. So I'll choose to fish with faith and know a fish.